Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
Oh, we're in the thick of December now, buddy.
Oh my gosh, it's gotten cold. It's acting like it. Yeah. Bad snow. It's not here anymore, but bad snow.
I'm not sad. You know, my general thoughts on snow is, that's pretty. And then 30 seconds later, I'm done.
I like snow a little bit longer because I enjoy seeing my dog run in it.
Yes.
But if I have to go anywhere now.
So, we are back. We'll get to the topic of the day here in a little bit. But as usual, first, we need to start by thanking Box of Barley Corn. Hey, and I don't know if I told you last time or not, but I talked to Jake at the store. They are on for sponsoring us for 2026 as well.
So. Excellent. I think you brought that up before, but I'm always good to hear. I mean, glad we're doing our part here.
Mm-hmm. And it is. It's been great working with them for 2025. I'm looking forward to working with them again. And, they are such a good resource for the homebrew community.
And you hear what they have now? They have the Hawaiian honeys from Carol.
Yeah, I saw those.
And they have little taster jars out there so you can go and taste which one. Have you tasted them?
I tasted one. I can't remember which one. But
I tasted them all. And I had favorites. I can't remember the name, of course, because, it's been a day or two. But they're all very, very rich, complex honeys.
Yeah. No, and Daryl has good stuff. I started buying from him ages and ages ago and highly recommend his stuff. He's got really cool stuff. Wholeheartedly.
I think they have glass jars with a seal on top for airlock. I've seen those before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have that honey I got from the European store from Middle Europe.
Yeah. Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah, that one from way back in the beginning of what we did here. Yeah, it's right there. We still have it. You want to grab a quart jar and see what we can do with that?
That's not a bad idea. We could.
I thought about that yesterday. So that's something we just leave on the table here and see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I've got a little stash of yeast in the back room, so we could definitely make something like that happen sometime soon. Just a little quart jar for fun honeys. We could do a little quart jar of my coffee blossom from Daryl too and just see what that looks like as a trad. I'm for a lot of Daryl's honeys, I'm way more of the opinion that no, this is something we put in like a back sweet.
The honeys are so complex. If I put it through a fermentation process, I'd lose so much.
But I've got one of the first ones I bought from him I haven't hardly touched was like a strawberry guava. It's a variety of guava that tastes like strawberries.
Okay.
But I've got the honey from that, and that's a fun, interesting. I got to do some Q23 trials with that, because I hear Q23 is just a good tropical flavor kind of yeast. But, I'm excited. Yeah,
obviously, we love Box of Barley Corn. They've got the knowledge. They've got the passion. They have the stuff.
Yeah. No, and, Jake is doing great things, adding more and more stuff all the time. I'm really happy to work with them. So, wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. Don't forget, we have our discount code.
Yes.
MHP10 there for you 10% discount online. If you ask them at the store, you never know. You could get it there, but at least get it if you're doing it online.
Yeah, it never hurts to ask, right? And so let's look at our meat of the day. The meat of the day is Eastbreiter, I think. This is from Oppegard Meadery, so it's a Germanic Norse-ish name. It's a blackberry peach mead.
Right. Let's pull up the glasses here.
Get a little glug, glug, glug.
I love the color. Mm-hmm. It's a red color, so I'm really enjoying that. You know, if I get a cherry or a strawberry or red berry mead, I would like my mead to be red.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
And it has a nice... It's almost like a reddish orange on the edges.
So it's like you took red and amber and threw it in a glass. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Right.
Right. Very clean.
The peach is more up front than the blackberry, but the blackberry follows right behind it on the nose.
Yeah, it's... Neither one's is shy, but the peach is in a rush.
It smells a little sweet. It's got a little honey note to it, yeah.
Okay, I kind of caught the honey at the very end of my last sniff there. Mm-hmm.
It's light. Very.
Kind of bright.
It's bright. It's kind of tart, actually. I think the peach is a little stronger in this than the blackberry.
Which is unusual, because blackberry is generally a stronger flavor than a peach is. Mm-hmm.
I think they got to have a ton of peaches and a little blackberry in here to really make it sing like this.
But very nice, though. Mm-hmm. I've not been disappointed with the Oppegard Meadery's meads I've tried so far.
Yeah.
They've been really good. This is no exception. This is really good. I wish they had an English translation to the name next to the names of their meat, because this is ridiculous. I can't pronounce this.
I'd settle for a pronunciation guide, yeah.
I mean, but if you're looking for it online, it's ISBRYTER. You pronounce that as you will. I'm going to say it's good meat.
So, Chris, the other group we need to thank, and hey, before we get into them, as part of thanking our listeners,
yeah, our giveaway.
Yes, we need to mention the giveaway again. We are giving away a copy of Ken Schramm's The Complete Meat Maker and a copy of The Flavor Bible. So obviously, The Complete Meat Maker is great for a new mead maker. The Flavor Bible would be great for a new mead maker or a mead maker that's
existing, or a chef, or anybody that cooks. I mean, it's amazing.
It is reference. A fantastic resource. So to enter, to get that either copy of those books for The Flavor Bible by Ken Schramm,
send us an email.
info@themeathouse.com with Ken in the subject line. Mm-hmm. For The Flavor Bible, flavor in the subject line. Real easy.
Mind you, if you forget something, I want this particular book in the comment. Just don't make it a big, tell us what you want to tell us after you say that line. We can look.
That way we can keep this organized.
Yeah, please, guys. Help us out.
We've got a couple entries so far, and one of our entries was from, I think his name was Jay over in the UK, was telling me about how he's kind of nailed down a 4% session mead recipe.
Ooh, okay.
And he's playing with, this is not going to excite you, but he's playing with a bunch of different hop combinations for it.
Okay, I'm 4%.
I mean, I think he was talking about like Citra and Simcoe and things like that. And, those are solid, solid hop choices. So I think he's got an exciting spring summer beverage.
Yeah, I'll there. Have to, have you.
Yeah, you can take my word for it.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. But
it sounds like Jay's onto something.
Yeah, here. It looks like you got something you're digging onto. And I'm hats off, man. Nice job.
Our last week's episode on Polish mead, it generated a good amount of little...
Apparently, Polish mead's a thing that's going on right now.
It's just something that people are interested in and trying.
Yeah, they're throwing that.
And our buddy Kyle Ducharme made a couple comments, and that reminded me that he had sent us something like a month ago that we talked about a little bit and really didn't touch on.
It was an iron bee, wasn't it?
Well, yes. Kyle has picked up the iron bee idea that we started as the Mead House, I think 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago now. It had to be 6 years ago because it was pre-pandemic.
Okay.
And, after JD and Ryan went their separate ways with this, I kind of let the iron bee slide. He's picked it up. He's gone with it. I was going to enter last year's, but my mead wasn't done in time.
That's
just the way of it.
When you're doing Iron Chef mead making, time is not on your side.
Well, and I tend to underestimate how long it takes to get a good product out of secondary.
It's tough.
It is. It's my failing, and I could work on that. But anyway, so he has the secret ingredient this year is tamarind.
Tamarind. We need, okay, yeah.
And the cool thing he's doing that we didn't do in Iron B is that he's got two different categories for this. He's got a session mead category, and then he's got a standard / sack strength category. And you can enter both, and he's encouraged us to enter both. So we're going to talk about tamarind today.
Yeah.
Because that's, tamarind is actually really fascinating.
Yeah, Jeff and I went out in the past, just last week, mm-hmm. and looked at tamarind things. Now, in my negligence, I forgot to bring my tamarind paste back with me today, but, we can talk about other tamarind things that Jeff found.
And I've got a little selection of tamarind things here that are potential sources, and I clarified with Kyle. He's like, no, you get tamarind any which way you want it. You can even go as far as like going to Amoretti. They have like a water soluble extract, an oil soluble extract, and what they call the compound, which is like a... It's a little bit more true to form than the paste that we'll try later.
Okay.
But whatever source you have, as long as tamarind is an identifiable flavor,
it's viable.
Right. This is an option for you. So I'm going to go ahead and throw the competition link in the show notes just to give him a little bit more push and get a little bit more visibility on this, because I think it's great that he's picking this back up. I'm happy that this cool concept that we created a while back is still, getting played with. I really like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And Yeah. So check the show notes for the link to Kyle's competition. Enter if you feel so desired. You have, I think it's in April, so you have a little time.
Yeah, make a small batch. You can get it done a little bit quicker.
Yeah, and heck, at the very least, you can make a session entry for
Yeah.
this in a month or two.
Yeah.
Easy. So it's probably worth a try, right? And
And back to what we need to thank here,
yeah.
our listeners.
Yes, absolutely.
You guys, you're talking to us. You're in our contest. I mean, we love seeing these things, and when you guys bring up questions, we love being able to answer your questions.
Yeah,
It's awesome.
even if you're just sending me an email like, "Hey, I want this flavor Bible, and here's the cool thing I've been working on," like Jay did. Cool. I
Yeah,
love hearing from
we
you
love hearing from
guys.
you guys. This is we love having more people on the porch here with us.
Yeah, ex absolutely. And like we've said a billion times before, this is the format of the show is a conversation between two friends about growing as mead makers. But the wider conversation here is the mead making community
Yeah.
and the people we know, the people we're getting to know, and the cool things that we're seeing around us. So
Yeah.
yeah, reach out, guys.
Mead makers in a village. This is awesome.
Yeah, we can, he and I can make batches of mead as our time and budgets allow, but the greater community of you guys can try all kinds of cool stuff and tell us about it at the very least. And it gives us ideas. It says, "Oh, well, maybe this thing that didn't work for him isn't going to work for me, so I can scratch that off my list." That's a rare thing, but
And scratching off a list doesn't happen nearly as often as it probably should, but
no, there's at least three more added to the list for everything I get to scratch off. It's the way of things.
so
Yeah.
welcome to our rabbit hole. So here we go. And let's see, well, so we're talking about tamarind today. We've thanked Bacchus and our listeners, and we talked about Kyle's iron meat thing going here.
And on the topic of our listeners, though, a little thing I wanted to mention. I want to say 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had the topic of the show was ginger mead.
Yes, I remember
Now,
that.
most weeks when I post the episode, I get to see, there's listens this week, listens last week kind of stuff. The stats go up, and maybe as little as 10 or 20 a week, maybe as much as like 50 a week. After the ginger episode, we had a fall. We were
Really? Ginger is not popular.
well, here's why. We had a real low point after that. And then I checked the stats and I checked the just the episode by episode. For some reason, the audio file for the ginger episode didn't upload to our podcast
Oh, okay.
network correctly. So I had to
So
go back and fix that. So if you guys were looking for the ginger episode, I didn't hear anybody reach out and say, "Hey, you guys posted the ginger thing, but we didn't get a file there." If you guys are looking for the ginger episode, it should be available now on whatever network or, on our website, themeadhouse.com, that you're looking for.
And for goodness sakes, guys, tell us if something happened, because we try to post. Jeff's really good at this, but sometimes things happen,
Yeah,
and we need to know too.
this week was a little late because I got wrapped up with trying to get some work stuff done on Wednesday, so my episode edit got it done late, and I think I posted it late in the afternoon on Thursday, but it was still out on Thursday. So I try to get it done on Thursday. I feel like that gives you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday if you need content for whatever you're doing over the weekend, whether it's cleaning the house or doing the laundry or whatever the heck that
Or
you're.
look, we're in holiday season. Oh no. Yeah, things get pushed around. Yeah, I get
Yeah,
it.
exactly. So, yeah, thank you guys for understanding. Thank you guys for the sometimes technical delays that come with us. We are not a professional organization at this. We're just two friends that are doing this as a side hustle kind of a thing that really isn't making us money.
And we don't expect to, or really even need us to.
No.
We're having a great time though.
Yes. And the conversation is fun. We get to drink and we get to talk, and this is
Oh no, I get to see my friend at least once a week or so. Oh my goodness, the horror.
it's a great excuse to just hang out and have some, fun and fellowship together.
Yeah. So yeah, let us know if there's anything that if it didn't come through clearly, give us some feedback. If it's not there, for goodness sakes, tell us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we can take it. We're good.
So tamarind as a thing, apparently it originated in Africa, but it has spread across the tropics of the world. In it started going obviously like in India, Southeast Asia. It went as far as the Philippines. Apparently, like colonists in like the 14th, 15th, 16th century spread it to like the Caribbean and into South America. It is literally everywhere. And even though it started in Africa, a lot of cultures, it got moved over to like India, Southeast Asia,
As
places like that,
things do.
so long ago that it's considered an indigenous species now. But
Wow, that's impressive.
apparently it is now such a staple that in Madagascar, like the ring-tailed lemurs, 50% of their diet is just the fruit of the tamarind tree.
Okay.
Then it's easy to understand why it's so widespread, because apparently like almost every part of this tree is used. And we're going to be talking about the fruit today, but the trees get big. Their wood as a building material and a thing to make stuff out of is both strong and decorative. So you can make little like jewelry boxes out of it. You can make a house out of it. You can do what you need to do with all kinds of different parts of it. The leaves and the flowering parts are eaten in some parts of the world.
Okay.
The only thing that really isn't that useful, apparently, is just the seeds themselves. And some people will still eat the seeds.
Okay.
It's just really hard to do anything with them.
So this is a one of those things that there's very like the coconut tree, it just there's so much use to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get so much out of it, and in addition to just being a staple food, you get all kinds of other uses. You can see why, for a very long time, people have been, using this as a thing.
Yeah, looking at the dietary, I looked up the nutritional value, carbohydrates, sugars, fats, protein. Well, it's all there.
Well, it's a little low in the fat and the protein. It's got a lot of carbohydrates, and I think if I remember right, it's kind of related to dates. And that makes a level of sense.
And yeah, but dates are a staple in a lot of places too, so
Right.
that makes perfect sense.
But actually, I take that back. I don't think it's related to dates, but I think it is similar to dates in like a texture and a the way the fruit is, the what I want to say, like the pulp of the fruit and the pulp of a date are similar in that they're like a dense, easy to store kind of a situation. And so I thought, as far as like trying some tamarind stuff, the obvious first thing to do is get the
Some
fruit
tamarind
itself.
pods.
Now, I found this is like a little, I want to say this is about an 8x5 little like
Tray.
styrofoam deli tray that's been shrink wrapped. It's got a little under a pound of raw tamarind pods on
So,
it.
give
And
me a pod, sir, and we'll see what we got here. Okay.
yeah, they
It
have a
feels like a brittle velvet on it, but it's nice. But then breaking it open, it's brittle and it's dry.
Yeah, you have a thick shell on these guys. Now, this is labeled specifically as sour tamarind. Apparently, there is also a sweet tamarind variety, but that is so freaking rare to find that I, in addition to, looking at making tamarind drinks and stuff like that, and where to find tamarind and what cultures use tamarind, I also looked at some cooking channels just to see how people approach cooking with tamarind, right?
Okay.
And the one of the Thai chefs that I got a video from found some, and she's like, "No, I use tamarind all the time. I couldn't find sweet tamarind."
Okay,
So,
well, we're stuck with sour tamarind then. Okay, inside it's gummy.
It has like that kind of date or
Big.
yeah, kind of thickness. Careful of the seeds.
Yeah.
And there are some long stringy bits along with the pasty stuff once you get past the thick shell.
Okay, this is not, it's not what I call sour, to be honest. I mean, yeah, it has a sour quality.
It's a little tart, it's a little sweet, it's
And,
jammy raisin.
but it's not bad.
And once it settles on your tongue, you get a little, the tartness is lasting to it. Now, you had found a
It's actually very pleasant.
you would have found tamarind slabs or tamarind like a paste thing that the essentially what they're doing when with the stuff you found, they're removing the outer shell and the seeds, and then you just get the processed pulp in that. And for a lot of the culinary uses of tamarind, apparently what they do is they take that pulp, put it in a bowl with some hot water, and let the sugars and the goodies dissolve. And there is a vociferous fight online as to whether or not you should like just basically pour off this liquid and kind of use your hands to to squeeze out the thick fibrous stuff, or whether you should like strain it with a mesh sieve or something like that.
And this is actually a debate.
On the different cooking channels, because I've seen like Indian chefs and Thai chefs, and there does not seem to be a cultural agreement here. I saw one Indian lady's like, "No, you don't strain this. You lose all the good stuff." And then like another lady was like, "Yeah, strain it. It's really hard to do anything with it when you've got these weird fibers in there, and it makes your curries taste really weird and nasty, and or your chutneys or whatever." And like, okay, well, this is a like any good culinary practice. This is something that they probably have like a what do I want to say? Like my grandma did it this way, so I do it this way, kind of a situation, and that makes perfect sense to me because this is, like I said, this is something that's been used in a bunch of different cultures for a very long time.
Now, I'll be honest, when you said it's sour, I was scared because I'm used to things like warheads, citric acids, things that make my face want to collapse in on itself. This is not that.
This is. There are bits of this that are, sour enough that you could eat this as a sour candy. It's not.
It's not, I don't think it's even that sour.
Now, like you were talking about with the nutritional content, there's quite a bit of sugar in this too, which is why it's an attractive plant and why it's used in so many different things.
Oh, but it's actually really good. I mean, I did. I've never tried this before simply because it looked like a bean pod that I didn't want to mess with. But it's actually, I would make this a snack just as beans on the table.
To get an appreciable amount of tamarind out of this stuff, it is a lot of work, and I think that's why it's sold as the slabs you found, where they've already processed out the seeds and the thicker outer shell and stuff like that.
And the skin around the seeds,
But no, this is pretty good. Now, moving on from this, and I'm still going to be chewing a little tamarind because.
Okay, to let you know how much I'm enjoying this, I had four seeds in my pod, and now I'm chewing on the third because this is very pleasant. I'm enjoying it immensely.
Now, I might hold on to some of these seeds. I've seen one of the cool things I've seen people do with tamarind. They grow bonsais with these things.
That would be cool. That'd be cool.
I am a notorious black-thumbed individual, but
Well, I'm pretty good at gardening, but I have tried bonsai a couple times, and I failed spectacularly both times. So maybe that bonsai may not be my thing
Yeah, it might not. Now, you can also get tamarind as a paste, and this is usually the go-to for a lot of, home cooks just making a curry or a chicken or a chutney or something like that. And they call this concentrated. But apparently, it's actually kind of the opposite. What I was talking about a little bit ago, they take the raw fruit, they add it to hot water, and they let it sit in the hot water to dissolve the sugars and the good stuff, and then they strain out the they
The
strain or
fibrous.
right, whether it's by hand or with a sieve, kind of half of one way, half of the other. The tamarind pulp or tamarind concentrate you get in jars and stuff like this is usually just that. It's actually, I'm going to hold this up to the microphone and see if it gets it. It's a pretty watery content here in this unopened jar I've got.
And what I have at home is a paste. It's in a shrink wrapped bag, and you can malleable the bag. It's not, it's an airtight bag, but I wouldn't drop
Right.
it.
And I think if you open that up, you'll find it's literally just this kind of the stuff. It's not actually a fine thing. Apparently the exception, and I couldn't find any of this, but you can also find a tamarind paste that is usually labeled product of India, and that is actually like a what we would consider a paste consistency. It's thicker and it's usually like a dark, almost raisiny color. Versus this looks like, I'm just gonna pour some
It
out.
looks like the pod. It's brown like the pod.
And it's a light brown. It has a runny kind of peanut butter consistency to it. You want to taste a little, just dip your finger in that.
Different. It's more tart.
Little more tart. Actually, no, I think the raw fruit I had, there might be a difference in the pod you had and the pod I had, because this does not taste as tart. This tastes a little blander. The other thing we need to look at here, though, is ingredients list. Because in addition to tamarind paste 100%, it has other ingredients. So
So it tamarind paste 100%, and then
other stuff.
now we have more than 100% in the container, which is, what is that, gum?
The xanthan gum.
Xanthan gum and sodium benzonite. Stop, guys. If you're a meat maker, sodium benzonite is not your friend.
This is not something you're going to have in primary. This is something you could use prior to bottling, but honestly, I don't like this tamarind flavor
Let me try that again.
as
Let me
much as
try on this one.
the as much as just the raw fruit.
It's sharper.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't have that mellow gumminess that
It doesn't have as
seeds
strong a
did.
flavor either, and I think it has
Yeah.
a almost like a chalky consistency that I'm not terribly fond of.
No, I agree with you. It's, I'm not enjoying nearly as much as the fruit itself, to be honest. And honestly, ne next time I next when I get if I can get home and I can remember, I will bring up my paste back in the future, a future episode, and we'll try that one just to kind of round it out.
Well, and I think we have one more variety to try. I don't think this is going to be a viable for
Mead
flavoring,
making.
right, for mead making purposes, but this was something that I thought of as a, hey, let's do a little proof of concept here. Anyway, from what we've tried today, I think reasonably speaking, from the fresh fruit, and if the slabs you have are basically the minimal processing, removing all the stuff we can't use anyway, the stuff you have is probably the way to go here, just because it's I don't have to spend hours pulling out all the little seeds and all the little crud.
And by the way, the seeds are huge in comparison to the fruit itself. I've got four seeds, and the seeds are thicker than the fruit around them to a very high degree.
Yeah, you get a
So,
little bit of fruit around a pretty, it's not quite a marble size, seed. So yeah, no, it's
this is what I pulled up a picture. It looks like a dark brown
right,
paste is what
yeah.
I have.
And that might be the product of India, but apparently you can also get slabs of just the fruit processed like that, and
Yeah.
that might be the way to go if you can find it. The way
I
things are
got mine
going
from a
though.
Middle Eastern store.
And that might be the way to do it. The fact is, like we talked about, this is really widespread. So I went to a huge Asian market in south part of town because I was already out there doing stuff with my kiddo, and that's where I found like three different varieties of tamarind. And
And I was ironically closer to Jeff's house at our city market, where he went further south than I went north, and I found the paste. And I'm ho and I will give an update on what the paste is like. I mean, in my rush to get here on time, which I was still late, I apologize, but I was. It's not like we're sticklers for the schedule right at this point.
I might just start drinking the bottle without you next time,
Okay,
pal.
I'm on time every time after this. I'm not missing
All right.
that. But the paste itself is what I have.
Okay.
So that might be your best option because you can literally spoon it out.
And the amount of effort you want to put into using it. I think this is an effort versus a result kind of a thing. So, it might behoove you if you're going to enter this competition, or you just want to make a tamarind mead for
For
the sake of
yourself.
making a tamarind mead based on the little fruit we got here.
It's pretty freaking awesome, honestly.
Very pleasant.
I mean,
So,
just been trying it right now. I wouldn't mind having it just available at home just to nibble on. It's
this
good.
is a neat snack, and apparently the sweet stuff. The reason you don't see sweet tamarind used in pastes and blah 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 because it is literally just a snack. They
Okay.
sell it in the same kind of like little containers, either boxes or like deli trays, and people just take it home and chew on it like a snack. And that's all you do with the sweet tamarind.
And they probably didn't get past the local because it's if the sweet's better than this, yeah, I can see the problem. I can see the problem.
Now that said, if you're going to enter this into a competition, the more common variety of tamarind you find is going to be the sour, the tart flavor. If you don't enter a tart-ish flavor, are judges going to be able to identify it as tamarind?
Yep.
That's the question.
Yeah, and. Tart isn't unpleasant, guys. I mean, I used to think tart was just sour, a lower grade of sour, but it's not. It's different.
Right, and there are so many. We talk about the blend of sweet and acid and tannin, and that tart, acid, adds so much like brightness and nice complexity to a mead that
Yeah, do it, man.
this is go. I
Yeah.
mean,
We had my wild plum mead a while back, and it was tart,
yeah.
but not unpleasantly so.
Right. Yeah. And you hell, we've got a peach and blackberry mead right in front of us that has some tartness and acidity from the peaches, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
That's just real damn
It's
nice. It's
really
got a
good. It's
bright
really
little
nice.
flavor. And we should top up our glasses. This is a great time to do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of topping up glasses, though, we'll get to the third variety of tamarind thing that I found on my little store. This is FOCO brand tamarind drink. And again, look at your ingredients list here. Tamarind pulp, 18%. So we're still using, a whole 100% instead of 100% plus other stuff.
Yeah.
But then the next ingredients are sugar, high fructose corn syrup.
Of course, why not?
So
Because it's always there.
no preservatives in this one,
Yeah,
but
I'm sure you want your meat, extra sugar you want your mead.
well, and a lot of people making tamarind drinks, they do tend to cut it with some kind of sugar. I've seen, I saw a Nigerian woman making like a tamarind wine using just table sugar. I saw an Indian woman making a like a refreshing little tamarind drink with like the jaggery sugar over there.
Okay, now I didn't have any smell when I smelled it. I
Yep.
didn't smell anything per se, which is like a can of pop size thing. The taste, however, is much closer to the fruit we ate. It's a little bit sweeter.
Yes, it's very sweet.
Yeah.
It's a little more sweet than a little. It's more sweet than,
The fruit pod.
right. And I think it's more sweet than it is tart. It's still a round, pleasant flavor
Yeah.
that.
I will tell you that the sweetness lingers a lot. It almost comes up to the edge of cloyingly at this point, because I just try to sip and then now I'm holding my I held my mouth and it got sweeter and sweeter and sweeter.
And it almost has a little bit of the I don't want to say gritty, but it has a little bit of a fine powdery kind of
Try that again.
texture on the tongue that I got from the paste that I didn't get from the fruit.
Yeah, I didn't notice it the first time, but yeah, I do. I got it now. It's just a texture. It's not bad. It's
So,
like a coating.
like I said, I don't think this is reasonable for a flavoring thing. But I thought we could use this as a proof of concept.
Okay.
So I've got here a bottle of that, put some seeds in your pocket lemon meat that I made.
Okay.
And usually I see a lot of like flavor. We can grab the flavor Bible here in a second and look at other things we could add. You've had this. I could be wrong, and this might not be the lemon meat. That's a
Yeah,
lemon
it's
meat.
lemon meat, yeah.
So I thought we'd just try blending lemon drink and tamarind drink.
And see what happens.
Yeah, see how we like this, just as a hey, let's make a tamarind mead.
Mixy. Sorry.
Mr. Burke.
Okay, that's good. The lemon's forward. The tamarind's a support character, but it's good. Nope.
Let's top up a little extra tamarind.
Okay, the giggle you just heard was Jeff's wife is nearby, and he gave her the can of tamarind drink. He wanted to get a little bit more to top off our mix here, and she didn't want to give it back, so I'm giggling.
Okay, it's my can.
And she has stated it's her can, so.
Okay, with a little extra tamarind, now
Okay.
they're a little bit more balanced.
Oh, they play nice together.
Yeah, a
Yeah.
little citrus, a little tamarind, that works
That worked
great well.
really well.
Yeah, no, you can have some too, sweetie.
And since the Christmas, yeah, it's good, but yeah, I've now got a new favorite drink. I need to make myself a citrus mead or steal some of yours. And
There's not much left of that 3 gallon batch.
you got
It's
the
the
recipe somewhere. You just hand over the card, buddy.
I mean, you could look at www.themeadhouse.com.
Oh no, couldn't do that.
We got it right there. We have it published for anyone who wants to check it out. So I'm just flipping through my copy of the Flavor Bible, which you can enter to win at
Yeah.
send us an email, www, or not www, info at themeadhouse.com.
You
There
let
you
me
go.
house go. Come get your own Bible. We each have one. The one we're giving away was one that was given to me after I already had one. So it's not been used. It is ready for you. But we would love to give you a copy of the Flavor Bible and Ken Schwamm's Complete Mead Maker. put your info in. We'd love to get you in the drawing for this.
We will cover shipping anywhere in the world. It's a book. It's good, probably not cheap to ship, but it's not going to be terrible either.
Yeah, the one guy from England, I'll send it to England. I'll send it wherever you are so you can get your book.
No, I know, looking at our stats, we have listeners in Brazil and Russia and Norway and, continental Europe and probably, all over the world. Wherever you're going, if we can ship there, we will.
Yeah, if you get mail, we'll ship it. That's all there is to it, man.
So, Tamarind. I'll just read the whole entry here, because, season, spring to early summer, taste is sour, weight is medium, the volume, moderate to loud, add at the beginning of the cooking process. Let's see.
That's for cooking, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is the flavor Bible.
Yeah.
This is not the Mead Maker Bible. But
shame on them.
I'm going to read the bolded entries that are like the strong connections first, and then we can go through some other stuff. So chicken, chili peppers, especially Thai, chili powder, chutneys, coconut and coconut milk, cumin, curries, curry paste, curry powder, fish sauce, ginger, Indian cuisine, lentils, lime juice, Middle Eastern cuisine, mustard, pork, rice, star anise, sugar.
Plain white sugar.
Plain, palm, or brown. Thai cuisine, turmeric, yogurt. Flavor affinities, tamarind chicken yogurt.
Yeah.
And then some other stuff that they've listed in here that's not bolded, but is still,
present.
Yeah. African cuisine, allspice, almonds, Asian cuisine, bananas, beans, beverages, especially fruit, cabbage, cardamom, Central American cuisine, chickpeas, Chinese cuisine, cilantro, cinnamon, cloves, coriander, dates, duck, fenugreek, fennel seeds, fruit, game, garlic, greens, honey, Indonesian cuisine, Jamaican cuisine, lamb, Latin American cuisine, mangoes, marinades, meats, mint, mushrooms, oil, grapeseed, onions, red, orange, paprika, peaches, peanuts, pears, pepper, black, pineapple, potatoes, poultry, sauces, scallops, sea bass, shellfish, shrimp, soups, Southeast Asian cuisine, soy sauce, stews, Thai basil, vegetables, vinaigrette, Worcestershire sauce. Yeah.
It says key ingredient next to Worcestershire sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Worcestershire. I keep trying to say it right, and I know somebody from England can tell me better, so I may have to call a friend. But the Worcestershire sauce, it says key ingredient, so I assume...
Is it a key ingredient of the Worcestershire sauce?
Yeah.
And is it a key ingredient of all Worcestershire sauce, or is that company-by-company thing?
Yeah, so, good question, but there you go. But, one thing that he said a couple times in there was orange and lime, mm-hmm. the citrus. And yep. We've got a glass of it right in front of us, and it's good.
Lemon and tamarind turns out to play real damn nice together.
Oh, my gosh. We've got mead, and we've got tamarind mix and mead, and the fun never ends.
Yeah. So, you guys listening at home, you have an opportunity to enter Kyle's Iron Bee competition for this year. Hopefully we've thrown out some ideas and some process notes and stuff like that that could be helpful here. You've definitely got time to make a session entry. You might even have time to make a
small batch of just meat.
Right, the standard or sack strength. And hey, if you've already got like a sack or standard traditional going, you could definitely add some secondary.
Yeah.
And get it going that way.
But, guys, if you do this, give us feedback. Tell us about what you're doing. And if you can't tell us, we'll forward it to
Kyle. Yeah.
I was thinking of his last name. I don't know why. I was trying to think.
Kyle Ducharme.
I was thinking Ducharme. I was like, that's not his name. But we'll forward to him. So, he knows that you're looking at doing this too. We'd love to see you enter. But let us know what you're doing. Let me know how you're doing it. Let us know how you did once it's done, said and sifted.
Yeah. And, we are talking about having a... we've got the equipment. We just needed to finish like the acid test and the technology thing to get people calling in and make that work. So maybe we'll have Kyle in to talk about the results of the competition, or maybe we'll talk about the Polish meat that he was doing. I'm sure we could find all kinds of topics to talk about if he's game.
And
I think he's been on the show before. So
actually, we've come across a few people that we would like to talk to on air with you guys. This is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We got that. I mean, we got, there's a mead maker in Wichita that is a friend of mine and my wife's, and he wants to talk to us. And, he's what I call an extreme hobbyist. He does have a commercial bend, and he does make it commercially, but mm-hmm. it's mostly for him and buddies, and he has a job other than mead.
Sure.
So, but and there's, and I'd love to be able to talk to Tracy, and I'd love to talk to just a whole bunch of other people.
Oh yeah, no, the community is huge, and it's it would be great to get more voices on the show besides yours and mine.
Yeah, no, I think
So
we do great, but I wouldn't mind having a couple other guest appearances.
from time to time,
Yeah.
I mean
I
the
mean, with our melodious voices, how can they get enough?
And hey, if you guys have other topics, other weird ingredients that you guys want us to focus on, or you think would be fascinating or interesting for us to think about, shoot us those too.
Yeah,
This
be
is
great.
really interesting. So we have one more thing, just a kind of a footnote. Let's get a glass here that we can use. I guess I'll
Okay, well, I don't mind that.
you just downed that entire glass of our
The mix, yeah. Well, you have a little more of the lemon, and I will buy you another of those tamarinds because that's gonna be a thing for a while for me. That was freakishly good.
No, I might have to experiment with using some of the paste or whatever to make my own tamarind drink, because that was, I wouldn't say no to a tamarind drink at like a summer party, even if it's not alcoholic,
Yeah, but what I'm pouring out now is called Vanilla Hive Mead.
Vanilla Hive Blend.
Yeah, it's with made with mead with coffee and vanilla.
Savannah Bee Company. I've heard good things about them.
And I'll be honest, a friend of mine, Bryant, he's the man who infamously makes the raisin mead that my friend here says, that's not what you do, but somehow it
Couldn't
works.
work.
But it does. And he gave us this because he found this and he goes, try this. And I did. And I'm sitting there, oh, okay, that's pretty good. I'm not a coffee person, but it's pretty good. So, Jeff, tell me what you think here.
There are some coffee notes on that up front. Is it vanilla? Vanilla is such, if vanilla is not like the ungodly, overwhelming thing like that, the cursed cocktail my wife made a while back.
But mistakes happen. Things happen. We're experimenting science. We're researchers, scientists. We make errors.
Sometimes you gotta screw things up to figure out what works, and
Yeah.
you have to take some risks. So, this there's no shame in, fucking something up. Now we know that doesn't work.
No, yeah, we have
But
learned a good way it does not work. Yes.
the point I was trying to make is that vanilla can be very, it's a supporting character, not a primary character usually. So I'm not sure if I'm smelling vanilla on the nose or if I'm just smelling coffee and a little bit of brown sweetness. Yeah, it's not a strong flavor. The vanilla is very upfront.
Yeah,
And
it's first, you don't smell it, but you're going to taste it. Again, I've had this before, so I've already had my mental notes on this thing, and it's good. Don't get me
It
wrong.
almost has like a creamy quality to it that
There's
I'm
no creaminess in there, but
right.
it just came across as that.
It wouldn't surprise me if they had a little lactose in here for body. I don't know if they would. It's fairly clear, and I think lactose tends to make things not clear.
Yeah, it tends to cloud things up fairly nicely. I mean, not in a bad way, but like coffee creamer.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty nice. And it's got the, do you like this? You're
Yeah,
not
I
a
actually
coffee
do.
person.
I actually did like this. This was very impressive to me because and the face your wife just made was exactly how I looked at it, and I said, "Okay, that's weird, but I like it. It was
It's,
good."
yeah, I could see a not coffee person still liking this because it's got more going for it than just the coffee flavor. And the coffee flavor is almost like a, more of the like, so I'm talking to someone who doesn't drink coffee, but maybe you guys listening at home that, for those of you that like coffee, I tend to go for darker roasts because it tends to feel more flavorful or taste more flavorful to me.
I go
But,
for cardamom coffees. I like cardamom
well,
coffees.
yeah, I can see that. The when I get really good roast coffees, like there's a couple companies local to me that sometimes I'll splurge and get like a little bag of their stuff. I tend to go for some of the light roasts
Really?
there,
Okay.
because if you've got good beans and you got somebody that knows what they're doing, you tend to get more flavor out of the light roast. That's more like you get more round and fruity notes and interesting stuff going on there. And when you get to the dark roast phase, it tastes like dark roast coffee and it can be very intense, but you get more round, interesting notes out of a light roast coffee. And this feels like more of a light roast coffee note than a than a dark roast coffee note. You get the fruitiness, the flavorfulness of the bean rather than the just the roast coffee note, you know?
Now, mind you, the Vanilla Hive blend is a 13% ABV. It's quite good. We're gonna get more of that really quick.
A tamarind drink.
The tamarind drink, we're getting more of that. And I'll also try with, instead of using just a lemon mead, I may want to consider putting a maybe just like a lemon drink with it or a citric drink with it. Because that's astonishingly good.
Now we're out of our tamarind drink.
Because, oh my gosh, it was that good. I mean, like I said earlier, I never really went towards tamarind on the shelf. I go to a lot of ethnic markets and I enjoy the heck out of them. I really do. Comma. Tamarind, I'm saying, no, that doesn't look tasty. That must be a cultural type thing that I really don't want to try. I'm wrong. I'm absolutely wrong.
Well, and I forgot how fun the 888 market can be.
Oh, it's
It's huge.
magnificent.
It's a huge Asian market, but they've got, in addition to a bunch of different Asian cuisines, they've also got stuff from Jamaica and Latin America and all kinds of stuff. That's just, the most of the stuff is Asian stuff. So there is a lot of stuff that I look at, like tripe, that I go, okay, people probably grew up liking that and want to eat that.
That's not
I
me.
don't.
Me, yeah, and that's true. But by the same token, I mean, I'll go to the British store too and look at things like, no, I'm not eating
Yeah, yeah,
that.
yeah. No, I mean, pig's feet around here.
Chicken feet.
Cultural. Yeah,
No,
no,
not
no.
doing it now.
No, I. Now, granted, like, we're from Kansas City. Kansas City barbecue has a storied tradition of basically, like, the way this got started. The brisket, like my favorite thing to eat at a barbecue restaurant, apart from burnt ends, which are just a part of brisket, the whole start of this is like they couldn't sell brisket before it went bad, and so there were literally like guys running around with carts getting spare brisket from the butchers, and they would take that and they would slow roast that for 8 to 12 hours and make something amazing with it. Because they were basically getting it for free. So we have a storied tradition of taking stuff that other people don't like
And
here
making it good.
and making it great. But
I mean, it came to the point where if it walks, swims, or flies, we'll barbecue it.
yeah. Anyway, we're out of the tamarind drink, but I took some of this tamarind paste and added it to the dregs of the last of this coffee vanilla. It's not bad. It's not what I want.
No, I think the Vanilla Hive works better on its own
Yes,
for the most part. Yeah,
it
it's good though, but it's a solid coffee vanilla meat.
Yeah, I really like that coffee vanilla meat. That is a nice.
So we're gonna have to look into Savannah Bee Company, see what else they got out there, because the reason Bryant had this is he went to see a friend in he flew down to see a friend in Florida, and they had it there. So he grabbed some, brought it back, and he says, "You need to try this." Was generally the phrase I was, "You need to try this." And I'm sitting there, but it's coffee. I mean, it's going to taste like, well, coffee. And he goes, "Try it." I said, "Okay." And what do you know? I like it.
Yeah, no, this I'll put the adding tamarind to the coffee vanilla mead in the whole, well, we tried it so we know not to try it
Yeah,
again kind of
that
category.
it
But
was not our best experiment. It was a learning experience.
it's important to try things.
Yeah. I actually tasted a piece of a vanilla, a tamarind bean with a little bit of the high vanilla blend. I swished the bean around my mouth. It didn't really affect much at all. It made it a little bit sweeter, but didn't really, the coffee overpowered it.
I'm not surprised. I mean, it is a you're talking about like the dregs of the tamarind kind of fruit in your
Yeah,
mouth, and then
put the
adding
fruit in my mouth.
the coffee flavor. And the coffee flavor, it's like I said, it's pronounced. It's not an offensive coffee
No,
flavor. It's a really nice round fruity flavor.
even for me, it was good.
Yeah.
Which is saying something, to be honest, because people say, here, this is less bitter. Yep, coffee.
No,
Definitely
gross.
coffee.
Gross, 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 gross. Yeah.
But anyway, so guys, tamarind. If it's not on your radar, put it on, because
Interesting as hell.
yeah,
Yeah, this is.
it's fascinating stuff, and I'm really glad we took the time for this one.
Yeah, and there, You've said in the past there are estimates of like what, thousands of different fruits in the world. I know, like,
I've heard as many as a quarter of a million different kinds of fruit in the world.
I believe
And this was years ago I saw that number. Since then, we've had more things hybrided, grown. It's only getting more stuff we can do, man.
And my God, the fruit aisle, just the whole fruit aisle, not to mention the frozen fruit aisle over at Triple Eight Market. There's all kinds of stuff that I'm like, oh, if I had more time and more money.
Yeah. Should we ever come into Oodles and Boodles, we will be busy. Bwahaha. Anyway.
Yeah, I naturally I also sent you a reminder that the durian threat is still on the table
Why are you doing this? I mean,
because I am morbid and
evil.
this
He
is
sent me a picture. Look, there's durian here. Click. I'm sitting here. Please say that's jackfruit. It's not. Oh my goodness. Why are you doing this?
my 12-year-old son was with me at the Triple Eight Market because we were on the way home from a Boy Scouts outing, and he goes, "Is that durian?" I was like, Yeah, you know what durian is? Yeah. What do you know about durian? It's the stinkiest fruit in the world. It's like, that's right, dude.
Yeah, very good. You got it.
I don't know if that's for certain the stinkiest fruit in the world, but that's the reputation of
Yeah, it sure is. Oh my goodness. I have seen professional chefs reel in, oh my God, and reel back from the smell of that stuff.
I believe that. I've not smelled it myself, but the only solace I will have to my threat of making a durian mead is that my wife does not want that shit fermenting in her house.
Yeah, same with my wife, my son wants to do the fermented fish paste from the Roman era.
Yeah, the
Garum, yeah, that was good. I couldn't remember the name. And my wife put her foot down and says, "Not in my house, on my property, or any place I go." So my son's sitting here. I gotta find a place that I can do this that, she doesn't go.
I mean, part of me says you could rent a storage locker or something and stick it in there, but I'm pretty sure you'd get
Most of
your
them have
house called
rules
on.
about toxic fumes.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure somebody in the office would call and, is there a dead body rotting in here? Actually, about 50 to 100 dead
Dead
little
bodies,
fish
it seems.
bodies, but
Yeah. Why do you ask? Guys, get yourself in Cameron.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're
This is
starting
fun.
to wander afield because that's what we do.
Yes, well, and we've been drinking. That doesn't help.
Not a bit. Anyway, but get some help, Tamron. Jeff, it's been outstanding to be here. This has been a great day.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
Thank
So,
you.
cheers, buddy.
Happy meeting all.